Welcome to Seekers and Scholars, a podcast from the Mary Bacardi Library in Boston and online at mbelibrary.org. I'm Jonathan Eder, your host. In this episode, we're going to discuss the history of communion in Christian Science Church services and what our collections at the library reveal about that history. It's a unique story with resonance to the practice and purpose of communion within the greater Christian tradition. To begin with, we are going to listen to a few sound bites from contemporary Christian Scientists on the subject of communion and communion services, and then we'll welcome in our guests to delve into the subject.
One thing I have to remind myself of for the communion service is that it depends on which church service I'm attending on the second Sunday in January and July. These Sundays coincide with the lesson subject of sacrament. So I have to ask myself, am I at the mother church or at my branch church? I have the opportunity to attend either, and the two services are very different. According to the manual of the mother church, communion services are held in branch churches only. At the communion service in my branch church, the last hymn we sing is the doxology, and singing the doxology is a favorite of mine.
Communion Sunday is really a joyous church service. The reading of our church tenets brings a sense of spiritual grounding. Our tenets are a great summary of what makes Christian Scientists unique. I love hearing the sixth tenet, a promise that we have the mind of Christ.
Growing up in Christian Science or attending Christian Science services, but also having a large Irish Catholic family and attending the Catholic masses and having this conception of really the more ritualistic interpretation of communion and what that means, as I've gotten older and delved more into the concepts behind the communion services, I've grown to appreciate how the same concepts that are being tackled through the more physical representation of a communion are being tackled in our understanding of communion in Christian Science. We are trying to understand and partake of that manna from Christ's table, and we're all trying to drink from Christ's cup.
The lesson sermon normally for communion services are all about that sense of purification and God washing you clean and forgiveness. And of course, so much of it is on the life of Christ Jesus. And you think about all the challenges he had to overcome. And even in his darkest moments, how God was with him. And of course, God is present here with me too, and not just in my life, but as you're there in a communion service with your church, you're thinking about all of us coming together.
My very first exposure to the idea of communal ritual came from other than Christian Science. And when I was a child, I didn't really understand what it was all about. When I got older and actually got into Christian Science, then it helped me understand that there was a real spiritual significance to what was done, and it was not done with physical substances like having grape juice or wine or the little wafers and so forth. In Christian Science, they like to look at it from a more spiritual point of view, and that those elements are already a part of us.
So those voices are not meant to be completely representative of Christian Scientists today and their thoughts on communion, but they do give us a little bit of a sense of the experience and some interesting details. For example, that communion for branch churches of Christian Science and how those are provided for is very different from what happens at the Mother Church in Boston. So to help us understand this and other aspects of the history of communion in Christian Science services, I'm so happy to welcome into our conversation Tom Cleaver and Mike Hamilton. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Jonathan.
It's great to have you. Tom is a researcher at the Mary Bacardi Library, and the library recently published an article of his on this very topic, titled Christian Science Communion Services, as part of its From the Collection series on the library's website. And also, welcome, Mike.
Nice to be here, Jonathan.
Mike is a little bit familiar with us here in the studio. For Seekers and Scholars, we've had the pleasure of him as a guest before, but Mike is executive manager of the Mary Bakerty Library. And importantly, for this episode, Mike received a Master's of Divinity in Biblical Studies and Church History from the Boston University School of Theology. And Mike also has a Master's in Theology and Christian and Social Ethics from Princeton Theological Seminary. So, Mike, you have some background with how other Christian faiths think about and approach the experience of communion.
That's right. I've certainly been the beneficiary of learning from others how they see things, and it's deepened my understanding of communion in Christian Science, for sure.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's wonderful to have both of you with us. But to get into this, Tom, I'm so interested with those voices in mind that we heard at the top. What do you pull from that, from your research? You know, what stands out to you about what's different, perhaps, for contemporary Christian Zionists in terms of how they experience and think about Communion Sundays, those two Sundays a year, versus what was going on for Christian Zionists in those early years?
An interesting comparison note. In early Christian Science, when they had these in the Mother Church before the disestablishment of the communion in the Mother Church, was that they were experiencing thousands of visitors for each communion service. And it was a lot more of a spectacle, if you will, so where you had packed crowds, a chance to see the introduction of new members, hundreds of members at once in the Mother Church, and seeing them rise and be introduced.
Well, Tom, that is a comparison of note. I would definitely agree with that. So, as you're saying, in the early history of the Christian Science Church, communion services took place at the Mother Church. And not only did they take place at the Mother Church, they were events of some distinction. And then they were eliminated from the church service calendar for the Mother Church. But communion services continued as part of the church calendar for branch churches of Christian Science in the United States and beyond. It strikes me that this was quite a notable decision that was made to, in your words, sort of disestablish, to end communion services at the Mother Church. What have you learned from looking at our collections about how this decision was made and executed?
Yes, with Mary Baker Eddy, it was interesting seeing how she chose to communicate with those around her, especially around this time. Immediately following Communion Sunday, she started sending letters both to members of her household as well as eventually to Alfred Farlow to publish in the Christian Science Sentinel. Farlow held an important position in the administration of the church. She spoke about relinquishing the material form of the communion advances its spirituality.
What was the year for that, Tom, that the correspondence you're talking about?
1908. So this was immediately following the final abolishment of the communion service in the Mother Church.
Right, right. Actually, weren't the letters what prepared people to abolish the communion service? She already decided at that point that it was going to be.
Right before the official abolishment, but some are preparing for them, and this one that I just quoted is from directly afterwards.
Afterwards, interesting, interesting. So they'd had that order of service in the Mother Church for some time before it was changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Tom, is it true that the order of service we have now for communion services and branch churches is pretty much like what the order of service was in the Mother Church and branch churches early on as well?
Yeah, it's pretty close to what was early presented. Besides the exclusion of that introduction of new members, this is pretty spot on to what was initially brought up.
So we got a little bit of a sense from our opening voices about what is experienced in a communion service at a branch church of Christian Science. But just to outline, what are those key factors that distinguish a communion service in a branch church?
The tenets, the invitation and the kneeling, joining in silent communion, and then the singing of doxology are the things that really distinguish that day.
And again, that is different from what happens at the Mother Church. So for that speaker at the top, she would want to be in a branch church if the doxology is the thing she wants to sing on. Although, you know, it could be included, I suppose, in the lineup.
I think sometimes they include it at the Mother Church, too.
So Mike and Tom, how would you respond to the thought, my gosh, he abolished the communion service at the Mother Church.
does that mean that she didn't feel communion was all that significant for the Mother Church?
I think it probably has a lot to do with the letter that Tom just quoted, that abolishing the communion season, for one thing, Mrs. Eddy said, this doesn't prevent Christian Scientists from occasionally visiting the Mother Church. There was no sense that they weren't welcome there. Of course, the local congregation of the Mother Church, that is their church home.
Right.
But I think what it did do, as you say, was to take the focus away from a sort of event and move it back towards what Christian Science really teaches about communion, and that is that communion is a daily experience of communing with God, and that the sacrament for Christian Scientists is not so much an event with particular elements such as bread and wine, but is a kind of opportunity always to feel close to God. Now, that sounds fine in theory, maybe, but I know that some members of Mary Baker Eddy's staff thought she was making a big mistake. Mm. Calvin Fry, in at least some of the material in the Mary Baker Eddy Library, is noted to have come out after hearing that this was to be the change and said, she'll ruin her church.
Oh, no.
Because this seemed like a big success. You were getting people together. People were coming from far and wide. Everyone looked forward to this. But I'd say Mrs. Eddy's goals for her church and what kind of church it was going to be kind of looked over a different horizon. And what she felt was important was somewhat different than the kind of gatherings that Tom has described.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom and Mike, you've clarified that the date or the year for final phasing out of communion services at the Mother Church is 1908. And that's interesting timing when you think about it, because that really comes on the heels of a massive expansion of seating capacity at the Mother Church with the building of what is called the Extension. That's interesting to see that one follows the other.
The irony of it was that this change to the communion season came 2 years after the Extension had been built. So here's the Extension dedicated in 1906. Part of the reason it had been commissioned in the first place by a unanimous vote of the members present at an annual meeting was the need to accommodate visitors who came for the communion services. And you almost feel as though Mrs. Eddy is tapping the brakes in 1908 and saying what Tom quoted, that let's remember the purpose here. Let's, even this beautiful church, let's remember what it's really for. And that wasn't easy for people to understand or to accept.
Right.
And of course, it stood, it became a bylaw in the church manual, but it was not the easiest transition, I don't think.
Well, not for Calvin Fry.
And apparently some others.
Considering Mary Baker Eddy's background in the Congregational Church and the churches that other Christian Scientists would have come out of before converting to or before adopting Christian Science as their faith and their spiritual path, what would communion have meant to them? And from that, you know, why was it that this particular Sunday was the one that where everybody wanted to gather together? Mm.
I think communion services have been and continue to be important events in Christian churches in different ways. And we could say that Sacrament Sunday is important for us too, because it marks something special or different about a church service for Christian Scientists. But Mary Baker Eddy, who grew up in the Congregational Church, would have been very accustomed to what anyone would think of as a Protestant